Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by lead pastor Chad Perrault. For other podcasts and resources, visit www.vineyardportland.org.
So we're going to continue on. This is our third week. We're going to be continuing on, and I don't have my teleprompter. That's so bad. What's going on with back there? Anyway, so I'll look this way. Hopefully I won't have to too much, but we are continuing our series called Missional Themes. And so this week is our week number three. And if you guys haven't been here with us over the past couple weeks, let me just give you a quick sort of synopsis of what we covered over the last 2 weeks. First week, we talked about our first missional theme, which was becoming more like him. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be, you know, sort of going after in this new season, right, is becoming more like him. When we talked about becoming more like him, we were talking about how we're supposed to be developing a life of intimacy with him, right, a life of surrender to him and a life of obedience to him. And so we covered that the first week, and then so the second week we stayed on that missional theme, which is becoming more like him, but we focused more on discipleship. So essentially, the first week, we were talking about being discipled by him, being discipled by him. And then the second week, we focused more on being discipled by others, being discipled by others. And the whole idea is that if we're going to become more like him, we have to be discipled by him, but we also have to be discipled by others, right? So those were the first 2 weeks. And in that week, what we talked about, right, was this idea of intentionality when we're discipling others and when we're being discipled by others. The idea of intentionality, the idea of being vulnerable, the idea of being accountable. And so we kind of tackled that the first 2 weeks. So this week we're going to focus on, and I was like really thinking 3 weeks, right? But I'm just so long-winded that it's going to be four. Hope you guys are cool with that. Anyway, so this week we're gonna focus on this next missional theme, which is just our second one. We're going to keep it simple here. Our first one is becoming more like him. But really, we're becoming more like him for a reason. We're becoming more like him. Why? Because we want to make him known. Amen. We want to make him known. And if we're not becoming more like him, it's going to be really hard to make him known. Because if we're trying to make him known, but we're not becoming more like him, then what we're doing is misrepresenting who he is. So that's why the basis of our first missional theme is let's become more like him first. Not that we can't do both at the same time, but we've got to be thinking about, okay, who is he and who he is in us? How are we going to become more like him so that we can more effectively make him known? So that's sort of the understanding and the idea behind this. So this week we're going to focus on making him known. And so the first 2 weeks was focused on becoming a disciple, right? The first 2 weeks is about becoming a disciple. This week and next week are going to become about making his disciples. Making his disciples. So that's what we're going to do. Becoming one and making one. And that's really the genesis and the focus of these two missional themes. That's ultimately what we want to do. So I'm really excited about it. And it's really interesting because when you think about what's going on right now, in order to make him known, we've got to be with people. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? Because the prevailing, you know, the prevailing message in the community and in the culture right now is, let's not be with people, right? And we understand why that is the case. And we do understand that. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to talk about making him known, which requires being with people, but yet everyone is telling everyone in this room not to be with people. So we're going to see how this goes this morning. But in prayer, it was really good because it's going to provide us an opportunity. I really believe this. This situation is going to provide the people of God with an opportunity to bring the kingdom to people who are living in fear. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about making him known this morning and what that looks like. And we're going to do this for 2 weeks, okay? First thing is this. I want to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Here's my first point this morning. God's desire has always been to reproduce after his own kind. Let me say that to you again. God's desire is always to reproduce after his own kind. And that's the basis of making him known, right? We are reproducing who we're becoming. We're reproducing who we're becoming. Check this out. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man," or mankind, man and women, "in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. And God blessed them. And God said to them, what? "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and fill the earth." And so here's the thing. God has always been a part, you guys. His desire is always to be reproducing after his own kind. That's what he wants to do. That's his will. And that's the same thing he wants to do with us. That's the same thing he wants to do with us. He wants us to position ourselves to become more like him so he can reproduce after his own kind if we become more like him. So I'm going to go to Luke chapter 5 this morning. So one of our theme builders that we've been talking about, the first week we were talking about our theme builder that centered around making him known, that first theme builder was pursuing his presence, right? That first theme builder of the first week was pursuing his presence, and that was connected to making him known. The second theme builder that we talked about last week was desiring discipleship. So if we're going to become more like him, we've got to be pursuing his presence, but we've also got to be desiring discipleship. And so this week is still about desiring discipleship. But instead of desiring to be discipled, it's going to be desiring to disciple. So it's the same theme builder, but it's a little bit of a different application. So part of making him known, if we're going to be doing this, and if this is our focus, then our theme builder has got to be, one of them has got to be, we have to be desiring discipleship, not desiring to be discipled, which we are, but in this case, desiring to disciple and to coach and to mentor others. And when I say discipleship, I know that's sort of a biblical sort of, you know, Christian-y word, but really it's discipleship, it's making him known to others, it's coaching, it's mentoring, it's all those things. So that's going to be our theme builder for this week, is desiring discipleship once again. And I want to look at Luke chapter 5 because I think there's some really amazing things that we can take out of this encounter that Jesus has with his disciples in regards to discipleship and making him known. Now, there's some conversation around, biblical scholars have looked at this passage, looked at this encounter, and they've had some questions and some arguments about whether or not this encounter with Peter and with Andrew sort of mirrors the encounters that we read about last week in Matthew and Mark. It seems as though at this point Jesus is calling them to the ministry, but it seems as though they've already had some interactions with them. But it seems like that this is like the call. It seems as though Peter and Andrew were sort of hanging out with Jesus for a little bit and were maybe at the wedding in John chapter 2. We hear him, you know, we see them at the wedding with Jesus and they see him performing miracles. But there's this understanding about Luke chapter 5 that speaks to this reality of like Jesus is really ratcheting up the, you know, the call. It's almost like he's saying, okay, you've seen me for a little while. You've seen what I've done. Now I'm like, it's getting real. This is getting real right now. And this is what I'm calling you to. Okay, so Luke chapter 5. Here we go. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, to hear the word of God. Now think about this. Visualize this. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And Gennesaret is just another word for Sea of Galilee. Same body of water. So he's standing there. And as usual, when he starts to teach, people just start coming. And if you think about a concert, you know, a lot of people around, You know, the people start to begin to press up into the stage, right? They begin to press up into the gate. And the Bible says, the scripture says that people are pressing up to him. So the crowd is getting so big that it's coming a little too close for him. And it's becoming probably to be a little bit difficult to do what he was trying to do. So Jesus, being a really smart man, he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Washing your nets, right? Fishermen, man, the nets are the most important thing about being a fisherman besides the boat. If the nets aren't ready, if the nets aren't clean, if the nets aren't repaired, guess what? You're not catching anything. So they're repairing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took in nothing." A couple of things here. So Jesus is teaching. He's seeing the crowds are just a little too big. He's speaking, but they can't really hear him probably. So he decides, okay, let's get in the boat. Let's get a little bit further away from the crowd. And the thing about the Sea of Galilee is the way it's situated in some parts of the layout, it creates these like natural amphitheaters. So there's inlets coming into the Sea of Galilee, which creates these natural spaces where people can just congregate. And so when Jesus puts out to the edge of the water or a little bit further out into the water, the people are actually sort of congregated in these areas. They can actually see him a little bit better, and they can actually hear him a little bit better because he's speaking out over water and not land. So he makes that connection. He says, okay, let me pull out a little bit further here so that they can hear what I'm saying, and it's not so chaotic. So they do that. And then after he's done, then he says to Peter, hey, let's just go a little bit further out. And Peter's thinking, I've been out all night. I want to go to bed. And he goes, let's just go a little bit further out. And Peter's response, what was that? I heard that. That was a good point. Ding. So Peter says, we've gone a little bit further. Well, see, Lord, see, you don't understand. I'm a fisherman. See, I fish for a living. You don't. I've been out all night. And guess what, Jesus? Fishermen don't catch fish during the day. If you're a fisherman, you know. You go in the early morning, you go at night, or you go at the end of the day. You don't go in the middle of the day. So Peter's sitting there going, what are you talking about? We've done this all night long. I've got nothing. I was actually probably about ready to go to bed, and then you showed up, and then a bunch of teaching starts happening, and then you draw a crowd, and now you're telling me to go back out. That's just my take. Hey, it's always good to think, put yourself in that spot a little bit. You know what I mean? Put yourself in that spot. Like, okay, what happened? You know, Peter, he's tired. He's ready to go. He's got another night of fishing to do. But Jesus says, no, put out a little further and put your nets down. And Peter says, okay, Lord. But here's the thing. Here's the first point I want to make about this whole idea of making him known. Is that if we're going to live a life where we're going to make him known with people, and let me just say this really quick, that when I talk about making him known, when we're talking about making him known and discipling others, I'm really primarily talking about outside the church. Last week we talked about inside the church, discipling others and being discipled by others, but really we're talking about here being outside the church. So it's wherever you land, it's your social spheres, it's your workplace, it's your family, it's every place you congregate, in your schools, sports teams, wherever you put yourself, whatever your sphere of influence. I'm speaking into that right now, okay? So if we're gonna do this, if we're gonna make him known, the first thing that we have to understand is this, that our perspective, and this is so confirmation about the prayer this morning, Sandy, our perspective must align with his will. Okay? Our perspective and our expectation must align with his will. If we're going to make him known, if we're going to live a life where we are going to be positioned to making him known to everyone around us, our perspective has got to come into line with his will. What was Peter's perspective? Peter's perspective was not, that's a great idea, Jesus. That's a great idea. You know what? I haven't caught anything all night, but you know what? That's a great idea. You know, I'm not going to say a word about that. You know what? I'm just going to go do what you say. And we'll talk about that in a second, because ultimately that's what he does. But his initial reaction was, what are you talking about? We put down our nets all night and we've caught nothing. His perspective was not in line with the will of Jesus. Lord, I've put out all night and I've caught nothing. Lord, I've put my nets down all night and I got nothing. So this is what it looks like for you in your life, and this is what it looks like for me in my life. Lord, I know you've called me to this workplace. I know you've called me to this job. I know you've called me to be, you know, someone in this workplace that brings hope and love and mercy and grace. But you know what? I don't understand, Lord, why I keep talking to my boss about who you are. Lord, I don't understand why my coworker, who I pray for all the time, who I counsel all the time, I have no idea where they are at in their life. Lord, I am not seeing any fruit from my labor. Lord, I go to work every day and I try to be the best person I can be. Lord, I go to work every day and I try to be that light in the workplace. Lord, I pray for my boss. You know, you know what I did, Lord? You know what I did. I even talked to them about that tragedy they may have had in their life 2 years ago. I've prayed with them. And yet I've seen no change in anybody in this place. Lord, I know that my son and my daughter are far from you right now. I know that they know who you are. I know that you will give me every opportunity to be who you've called me to be in their lives. Lord, why is it that every time I'm there for them, why is it every time that I pray with them, why is it every time that I provide for them, why is it every time that I show compassion and mercy on them, why is it that I'm never met with an ounce of gratitude or appreciation? Lord, why do I keep putting down my net and getting no fish? Why do I keep putting down my net and getting nothing in return? Is that the life we're leading right now? Is that the life we're leading right now? Are we telling the Lord, no, sorry, my nets are ripped, I'm done. I can't put down my net any further because for the last 5 years I put down my net and I've got nothing in return. Is that the way we're going to live in the kingdom? Is that the life we've been called to live in the kingdom? He's calling us to put down our nets. And he's calling us to do it in the middle of the day when the expectation is no fish. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how we make him known. Our perspective must align with his will. Our perspective must align with his will. Check this out. Matthew chapter 13, amazing parable. I am so not getting through all this today. Okay. Matthew chapter 13. There's no NASCAR on today, so whatever. I'll just stay here all day. Whatever. It's ridiculous, but whatever. Why can't you just race without any fans? What's so hard about that? Anyway. Sorry. Talladega's coming up, Russ. Talladega's coming up, man. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole, sound familiar? And the whole crowd stood on the beach. Sound familiar? And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came up and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Here's what we have to understand if we're going to make him known to the people around us in every social sphere of our lives. This is what we have to understand. That the Lord, the God, that Jesus has called us to be seed scatterers. He's called us to sow with our lives. He's called us to sow with our lives. He's called us to sow seed wherever we go. I'll tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't tell us to make an analytical judgment on the soil that we're about to put the seed down on. He doesn't call us to not put down our nets because we never caught any fish. He doesn't call us to look at the soil first before we decide to take the seed out of our pocket. He doesn't call us to make a decision on the soil based on whether or not we're going to scatter the seed. Because here's the thing, if we are living in him, if we're becoming more like him, if we are in intimacy with him, if we are obedient to him, if we are, like we were talking about in week one, if we are surrendered to him, and if our perspective is in line with his will, it will not matter what soil we throw the seed on, we throw the seed down anyway. See, we don't wake up in the morning and say to ourselves, okay, Lord, I'm going to put some seed in my pocket today. I'm going to determine to be evangelistic today. That's not the life we're called to live. We don't wake up and think to ourselves, okay, Lord, yeah, I think I'm going to put some seed in my pocket today because, you know what, I'm really feeling like, oh, man, today's a good day to tell people about who you are. That's not the life we're called to live. It's not the life we're called to live. We're called to live a life where we're just throwing seed. We're just throwing seed wherever we go. It's like we don't even think about it. Our lives are so connected in intimacy with him, surrendered to him, obedient to him, understanding his call, understanding what he's done in our lives, understanding the work on the cross has put us in a place where we are clothed with righteousness. The old has passed, the new has come. We are new creations. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we are givers of hope. And so everywhere we go, our seeds are being thrown because it's our life. It's just our life. So we don't have to wake up every day and think to ourselves, I got to be evangelistic today. Lord, can you just give me that situation? Lord, can you just orchestrate something for me to step into? Can you just give me a sign, Lord? Kidding me? Give me a sign. Just go tell someone about Jesus. Just scatter the seed. Don't worry about the soil. It's not your job to figure out whether it's going to grow or not. It's not our job to figure out whether or not it's going to fall on good soil or bad. It's just our job to sow. So let's just sow. Let's just scatter. You know? Our perspective has got to align with His will. Period. And that's what Jesus was trying to show Peter. Okay. Sorry. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. I'm only going to hit this one other point. I'm going to have to figure out the rest next week. Okay. So he puts down, he asks him to put down the net, and Peter says, no, I've already done this all night. I don't want to do this. We took nothing in. But, second sentence in that same verse, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they had enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. It was James and John, same two that were in the other story. They were kind of partners. So they signaled to James and John, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Crazy. Here's the second point. And this is the last one for today. Our obedience leads to His abundance. There's a connection here. Our obedience leads to His abundance. I don't want to get caught up in the word abundance. Well, I do, but here's the thing. When we hear about abundance, all we think, and not always, but a lot of times we're thinking resources, provision, finances, providing whatever it is we need for life. Like from a material perspective, we know this in the church. There's many different streams that really promote, okay, abundance is just about financial wealth. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about abundance of presence, abundance of awareness, abundance of revelation, abundance of truth and knowledge. When we are obedient and living a life of obedience to Him, the abundance of all those things becomes our reality. It becomes an abundance of awareness that, Lord, You are who You are in me, and that You are forming and fashioning Yourself in me through the truth of Your word. Like when I read Your word, I understand who You are. I understand who I am. I understand the call I've been given. I understand I've been transformed in the image of His likeness. I understand I am in right standing with Him, that there is nothing I need to do in any way, shape, or form to garner any more favor or love from You. That's abundance through obedience. Look at the abundance that God provided for Peter when He said, at Your word. I don't agree with You. This doesn't seem right to me, but at Your word, I will do it. And what did He do? Abundance flowed. Abundance flowed. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He said, if you love Me, you will obey My commands. If you love Me, you obey My commands. And see, we read that a lot of times backwards. We read that because we're conditioned since children, we're conditioned to think, if I do this, I'll get this. If I don't do this, I'll be spared of this. If I clean my room, I get to play Lego something for like 2 hours on my Wii. Well, that's just Jackson. self-regulate, man. 2 hours is too much. Anyway. But we've been conditioned since the very beginning to understand that if we do something, we get something. And so we bring that into our faith life with Jesus. We think to ourselves, well, if I obey his commands, I will be loved. No, it's opposite. Understand that. It is out of your love for him that you will be obedient to him. Because it's not about works. It's about love. It's about becoming love in him. So if we're going to be obedient to him, it's not because we want to garner or take or get anything from him. It's because we just love him. It comes out of a place of love and intimacy with him. It comes from nothing else but that. Anything else is works, and you'll never measure up. You'll live all your life trying to work and work and work and work. And it'll never be enough. Because you can work for God without knowing him. It's totally possible. And so you live your life just trying to work for God, never feeling loved. We can't do that. We can't do that. That's why he said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. But so many people get it opposite. It's no, like, because I love you, I will be obedient to you. Because that's what you've called me to be. And that brings me into even more intimacy and love with him. If we're becoming love, our natural response will be, yeah, Lord, I just want to live my life the way you've called me to. Period. You know? So from obedience comes abundance. And I'm going to end here. This allows for transformation. So in our obedience leads to transformation. And because we're obedient, our transformation in us allows us to live a life of abundance. When we're making him known, we're beginning to see the fruit of that. We're beginning to see the fruit of making him known. Why? Because we're becoming more like him. So when we make him known, it's a better representation of who he is, which is attractive to people. See, if we just go around trying to like talk to people about Jesus, but we don't live his life, that's not going to be attractive to anybody. No one's going to want to follow you. No one's going to want to follow him. They're going to say, wow, what you say and how you act, those don't line up. I don't want any part of that. But here's the thing. Becoming more like him is not easy. It takes sacrifice. It takes surrender. It takes being in the secret place with him. It takes him speaking to you and revealing his nature to you so that you can be a mirror image of it. And so if we're not there, it's harder to be here. So let me just end with this. John 15. Remember we just talked about how God is, his will is always to reproduce, right? After his own kind. He's all about reproduction. He's all about multiplying. He's all about increase in our lives and in his kingdom, always. You know this one. Some of you may not, but I'm just going to read it really quick. Just the first couple of lines. It's the parable that he talks about the vine dresser. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And it may bear more fruit. He goes on to say, abide in me. Excuse me. Ooh. Abide in me. Did you guys hear that? Abide in me. I think I need to eat breakfast. And I in you. Check this out. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. What is he saying there? You cannot make me known unless you're becoming more like me. That's what he's saying. Don't try to make me known if you're not committed to becoming more like me. He's always about reproducing after his own kind. Here's the thing. Abiding is obedience, right? If we abide in him, that means we're obedient to him. And if we're abiding in him, We're obedient to him. And if he says, if you're abiding in me, you're bearing fruit. And if you're bearing fruit, guess what? My Father prunes you, which means you go through a process where it kind of hurts a little bit, right? When the vine gets pruned, it's pruning off the stuff that doesn't belong. It's pruning off the things that are not allowing the branch to produce the fruit that the vine dresser wants. So what Jesus is saying is if you abide in me, your obedience in me, you will bear much fruit. And if you bear much fruit, guess what? You better expect correction. You better expect correction because our lives are not perfect. And there's always this process of the Lord speaking to us when we get it wrong. There's always this way to the throne, like Travis was saying with Jesus, that he's the high priest always interceding for us. Why? Because we don't always get it right. But when we don't get it right, the Lord prunes. And the Lord prunes and the Lord is interceding for us before the throne. Because that's who he is. Because he loves us. And we've already been made righteous in his eyes. Every sin is gone. It's gone. He remembers it no more. We have been separated from it. So it no longer has to hinder. So now we can become branches and we can bear much fruit because we abide in him. Okay? So if we're going to make him known, we got to abide. We got to be obedient so that we can bear much fruit. Because he's always about multiplying. He's always about increasing. He's always about reproduction. He wants to see him formed in you so that you can be that to others in your lives, to see him formed in them. But it's never about your work in them. It's always about his work in them. Our lives can never be a culmination of good works because we'll only be doing as well as the work that we're doing. So if everything is about doing good things, then what happens to us on the day where we feel like we haven't done anything good? It's always got to be about, Lord, I'm here with you first. I'm intimate with you. You show me who I am. You've created me new. I'm a new creation. And so I will live in there. I will live in that place with you. I will live in that place with you so that I don't have to worry about everything else, that I know who you are in me and I know what you've called me to be in my life. You've called me to be an ambassador of your kingdom. And he's always about bearing much fruit in our lives. But it's only if we're abiding. It's only if we're in obedience to him.